Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely wonderful day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Blessed, shaking down, running together. I tell you what, God's a good God. My 18-year-old daughter came over today and talked to me for a little bit, and she said she's starting to understand a little bit more about the dating game now and how certain guys are certain ways. So it's been an interesting morning for me as far as talking to the kids and trying to figure out what to do as far as with my daughters and dating. Good news, though, and this is a sad story, but it's good news. An Alabama court has now allowed the father of an aborted baby to sue the woman's center that performed the abortion. I'm going to repeat that because this is good news. Not that the baby died, but the fact that the father's rights are being taken into consideration. An Alabama court allows the father of an aborted baby to sue the woman's center that performed the abortion. An Alabama court became the first in the nation to recognize an aborted baby as a person with rights. The court ruled that the father of the baby was aborted at least 6 weeks by his girlfriend has the right to sue the woman's center that performed the abortion as well as the employees of the center. And you know what's crazy with me on this, Austin? You know, Alabama is extremely conservative like this, but when they had a chance to put the conservative man into the Senate, they refused to do it and put an extreme liberal in the Senate, and Trump refused to back the conservative, which kind of surprises me. But this is something that's really bothered me for years and years. Let's say somebody starts dating somebody, and they're dating for 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years or whatever, and they decide they're going to have a baby. And I'm saying they're going to do it out of wedlock. And now, I don't agree with that, but they decide they're going to do that. And the woman gets pregnant. She's 6 or 8 weeks pregnant. The guy's all excited. And all of a sudden, she changes her mind, and she just kills the baby. The guy's supposed to just sit there and go, oh, well, that was really rough. I'm sorry that happened, and I have no recourse now. I can't even stop this abortion center from doing this. I really believe that when that happens, I really believe that the husband or the woman and the wife or the husband, that the person who's pregnant, the woman and the man who got her pregnant, they should have the right together to determine whether an abortion is going to take place. I know there are circumstances that are weird in that, and so I'm not going to get into a debate over you without that. But guys, it has to be a mutual agreement as far as I'm concerned. You know, now there'll be some times when the woman will do, you know, she'll be basically running around and go into a bar and gets pregnant, and the guy doesn't know anything about it. And I'm not talking about those cases, though. I still think abortion is wrong in any case. What I'm talking about is somebody decides to get pregnant, they get pregnant, and then the woman decides unilaterally to abort the baby. Let me give you another example. Let's use a really far out one. What if a woman is going to be a traditional surrogate for a couple? Okay, what that means is a lot of women can't get pregnant. They won't have children, so they hire a surrogate in order to have a baby. You see these TV shows all the time. And the surrogate decides 2 months into the pregnancy that she's got a better offer for somebody else to have a baby for somebody else, and she decides just to abort the baby. Where's the father who impregnated her, you know, through artificial insemination? Where are his rights at that point? So ask yourself these weird questions. I mean, think through these things and, you know, make your own decisions on all this stuff. Because, guys, this is a major problem, especially for guys who haven't had children, who want to have children. And all of a sudden, the woman just decides just to abort the child. And a lot of guys go, oh, I'm glad she aborted the baby. I don't have to worry about paying for that kid. Okay, I got that. There are a lot of guys that are like that, too. But where's the guy's rights when it comes to his right to say yay or nay to an abortion? Just thought I'd bring that little question up for everybody. Also, Cancun is getting interesting. 5 more people were killed and basically shot in Cancun with a cartel attack. 3 are dead. The Mexican authorities are investigating a cartel attack that killed 3 men and injured 2 others along with one of the main avenues in Cancun. Main streets in Cancun. Soon after the initial incident, officials clashed with the gunmen, setting off a brief firefight in the inner city. So here we have cruise ships stopping in Cancun all the time. Here we have people flying to Cancun because they want to be on the Yucatan Peninsula and they want to basically be in that beautiful weather and beautiful water down there. And now we have gang fights and gunfights in the streets killing people. If Cancun's not careful, they're going to go the way of Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Haiti used to be one of the top cruise destinations in the world. Haiti used to be cruise ships stopped in Port-au-Prince all the time. They don't do it anymore because of this very same reason. If the Mexican officials cannot get their doggone city under control there in Cancun, they're going to end up running off the tourists. The boats are going to stop going. The hotels are going to close down. It'll be another has-been as far as tourist destinations. Guys, it's so important to realize that when you start having breakdown of the infrastructure of the government, then basically what you end up with is basically groups of thugs running around doing all kinds of crazy things. So we don't want to pray for a breakdown of society. We don't need that. We don't need to have gangs stalking people. What we need to do is pray for a representative government in all of our countries. Austin, what do you think about these two stories?
No question about it. I mean, as far as when you start seeing stuff escalate like that, I mean, all around right now we're seeing so many different issues that are popping up, and this is for a very specific reason, because the whole aspect of the divide and conquer is to bring in as much conflict and to essentially figure out how to divide the population as much as possible on every aspect. And if that means going in and having this group against this group and this group against this group, once you have all this divisiveness all across the continent, it's very difficult for anybody to unify, especially in a time of crisis or an issue, because everybody's so mad at one another, nobody can go in and get anything taken care of. Other news, you know, I talked about this a lot yesterday, but I'm going to talk about it again because this is a very serious issue that we have going on right now. As you guys know, I didn't get to mention this in detail yesterday, but on Tuesday, March 5th, there was a full Senate hearing on whether or not vaccines need to be mandated and forced on a federal level. Their decision in the Senate is not final. They still have 8 days left before they have to actually make a final decision on this, but that is why we have seen the rhetoric on pro-vaccination go through the roof in the last couple weeks, as this Senate meeting is definitely not neutral. They are putting a lot, from what the stuff that I read, they are talking about a whole lot of different things, including forced vaccination, and they're even discussing the aspect of not allowing people to exempt themselves either. They're not talking about just kids. They're talking about adults as well. And the mandated vaccine is incredibly serious, because one of the discussions that got brought up on how to enforce it for adults, they discussed the ideology of denying adults their ability to renew their driver's license, professional license, and or hunting license was suggested if the family was not up to date on their entire vaccine schedule. This is what I warned about yesterday. This will be the next level of full-blown tyranny if this is implemented. I'm not going to go into the dangers and the entire aspect of vaccines. I already did that yesterday. If you want to listen to the show, I use very specific analogy about vehicles and everything else. But this is something that is quite troubling to me, because we are having a very serious debate in the Senate right now whether or not the federal government thinks they have the right to go in and start forcibly vaccinating people. And if they're not vaccinated, they're heavily sanctioned to the point you're not going to be able to drive a vehicle anymore. Just think about that for a second. If you don't get your kids vaccinated, they're going to not allow you to renew your driver's license. That's a pretty strong statement to make in forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do. At the same time, we have Amazon now that has come out, and they have banned pretty much almost all anti-vaccine videos from its Prime videos after CNN pressured them. Some of the documentaries that are now banned on Amazon are Vaxxed. As you guys know, we promoted that video significantly. Another video, We Don't Vaccinate. Another video, Shoot 'em Up, The Truth About Vaccines. These have now all been banned on Amazon. You're not allowed to sell them. You're not allowed to buy them. You're not allowed to do anything with them. If there are any videos that are left on Amazon, they are in the process right now of scrubbing all this stuff. Ironically enough, at the same time, they still have books and DVDs and videos up. One book that's a big seller on Amazon, and they're actually happy to promote it, is entitled Satanism, A Beginner's Guide to the Religious Worship of Satan and Demons, Volume 1. That's on there and heavily promoted on Amazon, yet they're banning any videos that discuss anything about vaccine safety. So this is a really big fight we're in right now. There's not a lot of discussion on this from the mainstream media. Very little coverage got brought up on this via the Senate, except the pro vaccine push. So this is something that everybody needs to go in now, find out who your senators are, contact them. There was an article that I got earlier here today. They said that the number was 202-224-3121. They said call them up and essentially tell them you do not consent to mandatory vaccinations. You can also find out who your local senators are in the state that you're in. Contact them, write them, email them. We have to be very, very aggressive this week because we have a Senate meeting on Tuesday that was rolling around the idea of not allowing people to renew their professional licenses or driver's licenses if they were not up to date on their vaccines and their entire family's vaccine schedule. This is full-blown tyranny, and we have to make sure that they know loud and clear that we are not going to accept this under any stance whatsoever, Dad.
What is the phone number again, Austin?
I'll give it out one more time. It is 202-224-3121. And again, your local senators as well. Anybody you can find contact emails on, email them today. This is not one of those things to play around with.
Okay, number is 202-224-3121. Again, the number is 202-224-3121. Austin's absolutely right. I mean, think about it for a second. You can't get a driver's license. You're a dentist, you're a doctor, you're an attorney, you're an engineer, you're a nurse, you're a teacher, and you've got a professional license. You're a plumber, you're an electrician, and they say your professional license won't be renewed because you don't have your hepatitis shot, you don't have your measles vaccine, you don't have a mumps vaccine, you don't have your whatever vaccine. It doesn't make a difference what it is. They're going to tell you what you have to have, and you will no longer be able to drive or earn a living. This is going right back to the Chinese social credit score.
Yep.
That's what this is. Now, guys, I hate to do this, but I do it because it's redundancy, and it bothers me because I don't like being redundant because I'm that kind of guy that I don't like being told what to do more than once. I mean, explain it to me one time. If I got it, I got it. I'll go on the road with it. I'm good with it. But all of this is this is all being done to us by the same people. You gotta understand what's happened here. We've been taken over by a druidic high priest class that wants to kill us and reduce the population of the planet. These are the bankers. These are the guys. These are the Rothschild boys. These are the ones that basically perform magic rituals in the middle of the night and kill people and sacrifice them. They run all the major industry. They run the United States of America. They own the country through the Federal Reserve System and the Exchange Stability Fund. In 1934, they took control of the Treasury of the U.S. Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And this is who these guys are. And they want to reduce the population. They want the goyim, basically the animals, the diseased rats, to not have as many babies. And they want us as stupid as they can possibly make us because they want to make sure that we don't have the IQ points to resist what they're doing. These are the same people. It's always the same people. Every time you dig under a rock and you dig deep enough, it's these guys. And you're like, gosh, it can't always be these guys. It's always these guys and their cohorts and their cutouts that they finance. Look at Amazon right now. Amazon is turned into a giant monopoly. It's huge. It's government controlled, government run, government funded. In fact, there's an article right now in the State of the Nation that says Amazon is the biggest joint CIA corporate covert operation in U.S. history. There is a very good reason why they named it Amazon. Just like Walmart was used to take over the American retail industry after it was incorporated in October of 1969, Amazon was actually established to completely dominate the internet-based retail industry, which it has successfully done. As of January the 31st, 2019, Walmart has 11,000 stores and Sam's Clubs in 27 countries, operating under 55 different names. Not only did Walmart put hundreds of thousands of mom and pops out of business across America, the retail giant greatly diminished both access and choice for the shopper in the pre-internet age. Did you really think the name Amazon wasn't chosen with purposeful design? Not only is this a joint CIA corporate venture, a stone-cold black operation, it's also a massive psyop that only gets bigger every day. How so? Well, once again, the American retail sector has been collapsed, with stores and malls closing around the country at breakneck speed, where Walmart effectively functioned as a F5 tornado for small rural communities everywhere. Amazon is rapidly morphing into a Category 5 mega hurricane globally. Amazon went from a company that did not make a cent for many years and literally operated at a loss, becoming the most valuable public company in the world after passing Microsoft in 2019. Not only that, but Amazon's business model was set up and structured from the get-go as an octopus, innovating and interpenetrating every segment of the corporate sector. This is how Amazon is being used to monitor and control much of the corporate media and corporate America. Just like the gargantuan Amazon River snakes through the northern half of South America as it numerous tributaries profoundly affect everything in their path, the enormous Amazon platform exerts influence far beyond the Internet. This is back to the CIA, who runs the government, we know that, who is controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who basically control everything through Lucifer and his D-Wave computer they're trying to get hooked up. This is who's doing this. These guys are now telling you what you can read. You know, here's the thing. You know, when the Nazis burned a bunch of books back in the 30s, which they did, they had book burning parties, it was primarily subversive literature, primarily pornography. See, you guys don't know that. It was primarily pornography written by people that were trying to overthrow the government, but primarily written by the communists that were trying to overthrow the government. And basically, the German people had enough. They started burning this trash. Amazon now is burning anti-Amazon literature, anti-vaccine literature, anti-freedom literature. No, they're not doing it, you know, actually burning the books, but they're doing it metaphorically by banning these things. And they're not allowing people to read the alternative stories. I mean, they took the book The Bad War off Amazon long ago. It's a great book. I mean, I don't agree with all of it, but it's a great interpretation of a secondary opinion of how World War II was fought and why it was fought. And it's been banned. My platform, we were taken off of YouTube back in February a year ago. Long before anybody else was taken off, we were taken off. Why? Because this show's gotten huge, and they don't want me out here talking on YouTube and telling you guys the truth and getting the links sent out. This is censorship. This is exactly what they've done every single time they take control. They realize they've got to control the media. This is why they hamstrung the public by basically preventing the pastors from preaching from the pulpit and telling the truth back in the 50s with the Johnson Amendment. Because the same group of people that basically helped to promote the revolution against the British, which was run by the Rothschilds back in the 1700s, they did it through the pulpit. And they knew they had to stop the preachers from telling the truth. And so they gave them the 501(c) for-profit corporations that are called non-profit corporations. They don't have to pay any income tax. And they basically said, now you can't talk about, you know, anything, any type of religious thing. You can't have the separation of church and state, but we're going to give you all of this stuff for free as long as you keep your mouth shut. And so they hamstrung the pulpit, and so they have made the church completely ineffective. If the church could go out, and it wasn't so programmed now to not do it, but actually start talking about the truth, you know, we'd have a big revolution in this country, and not necessarily a violent revolution, but we'd get rid of these low life in power. If they could talk like we talk right now, on a little church service, I guess I'm kind of having with you guys right now, they would suddenly go, whoa, this is the truth. Same thing with Chuck Baldwin. That's why Chuck Baldwin tossed his 501(c) corporation. I know a lot of other pastors that I know, and they go, well, if I had to do this and I couldn't do this, I'd get rid of the 501(c) corporation. I guarantee you, 99% of the ones who say they would not. And you say, well, why not? Well, because they couldn't do what they do. They couldn't just build facilities without worrying about depreciation schedules and all kinds of other stuff. They couldn't do it. They would basically not understand. They wouldn't be able to. They don't understand how much red tape it is being in business that they don't have to deal with because they don't have to file tax returns. They don't understand how much record keeping there is and how much other stuff you have to do. Robert David Steele wrote a really interesting article, and he's talking about Zionism in the article, and he basically says that he considers it to be over with in this country. And I sent him an email back this morning, and I said, well, I certainly hope you're right. I certainly hope that this stuff gets exposed. And I said, the problem is this. I said, as long as we have AIPAC in the United States controlling the Congress, it's not going to happen. As long as we have dual citizenships in the United States Congress, it's not going to happen. And Congress isn't going to get rid of AIPAC because they get too much money from them. And Congress isn't going to vote against itself to throw all of the dual citizenship people out. They're not going to do that. And so until we have somebody who's able to get out there on a national level and start talking about this stuff, But here's the problem. Think about this for a second. Here's the problem. If you try to get out there and tell the people the truth, they deplatform you now, which is interesting, like they did me. But, you know, we still have this huge show because they didn't expect me to have such a big market on Global Star. But they don't. But this is what they do. They don't make you relevant. They don't talk about you. They don't give you a platform. They don't allow you to go out and do a national talk show. In other words, they're not going to invite me on Sean Hannity. And if they did, they're not going to let me speak about what I want to speak about. They're going to censor me, or they're going to try to just make me look bad. They're going to try to make. They're going to ask me questions, leading questions. And what's really fun is when they take you and put you on tape, and they turn you into sound bites. And you give a 4-minute answer on a question they give you, and they give it back as a 30-second soundbite, and it makes you sound like you're a complete nut, and then you don't know what you're talking about, and you're being defensive. And this is what they do. I've had it done to me so many times. That's why I quit doing taped interviews. I don't allow this. And I was just talking about health stuff back then. I wasn't even talking about this political stuff that we talk about now. But until we get our country back, until we shake the shackles of the Federal Reserve Bank off this country, until we get the media free and clear again, until we get our rights back as far as having the ability to go on these platforms like YouTube or whatever and having the right to talk about what we want to talk about without being deplatformed, I mean, it's complete and total intrusion against our Second Amendment rights, or First Amendment rights. And we have to understand that. And Donald Trump hasn't done anything to fix this. Donald Trump's a Zionist. I mean, he had a young girl file a lawsuit against him and Jeffrey Epstein for underage, basically, rape. And she dropped the case back in 2016. I haven't talked about that because she dropped the case, and anybody can sue anybody for anything. But I'm just going to mention something to you. Something has got Trump, you know, by the nape of the neck and turning him each way he wants to go. Now, I don't know what it is, but he sure hasn't done what he said he's going to do as far as all of this stuff. And see, guys, we need to understand something. We are the tip of the spear. You know, my listeners, Hagman listeners, Sheila's listeners, Dave's listeners, I mean, we're all out here telling you guys, hey, there's something really, really, really amiss. Right now, we have 3 times as many illegal immigrants are coming across the United States border as they did in 2017. And Trump's allowing this. He's already declared a national emergency to build a wall, but he's still not policing the border. I mean, illegal immigration this year is on pace to more than triple the levels of just 2 years ago, new projections reveal. In the month of February, there were more than 76,000 illegal border crossings and inadmissible foreign nationals, the most in this month in 12 years. I mean, think about that for a second. Why isn't this being stopped? Why isn't the military being placed on our borders to stop this? Why are these people not being turned around and told to go back? Why are they not being put on C-130 transport planes? I mean, the reason for it is Trump is still doing the globalist agenda. He hasn't stopped. What we hear from the White House is rhetoric. I mean, you know, now we have a, you know, national emergency declared, and it's still got 76,000 people coming across the country. I mean, this is crazy. Now, think through it with me. If Trump wasn't being controlled, he could take the doggone National Guard. He's already declared a national emergency. He's got a national emergency. It's already on the books. He's already done it. He's already signed it. He could put troops now on the border and turn these people back around. He could use the passive denial systems, you know, with the radio waves and put them out there and turn the people back around. He could do all of this stuff if he wanted to, but he'd decide. Why? Because basically Donald Trump is a globalist sock puppet. He wasn't to start with. He was really brought in. I believe that we could have really had something change with him with making America great again. But we're still in all the wars we were in. Nothing's changed. We haven't pulled a few months ago, we're pulling out of Syria. No, we're not pulling out of Syria. Austin, I told you when they said that we weren't pulling out of Syria. And we can't pull out of Syria because, you know, they're not going to do that. They're not going to pull out of Afghanistan. And now they may put mercenaries in. They may do that, but they're not going to pull out. We're going to pay for the mercenaries. And the sad part about it is that, you know, all of this smoke and mirrors, all of this obfuscation, all of this theater in Washington, like, that's why I very rarely talk about Cortez, the actress up there. She's the congresswoman. You know what I'm talking about. The weirdo who makes these stupid statements. They don't have to promote her on Drudge or Breitbart or CBS or NBC or ABC or CNN. They can ignore her and make her go away. But these giant organizations, this media, this mass broadcasting media, it wants to promote her. It wants to make her the center of attention. She's the current dog and pony show is what she is. And she's going to basically be out there now from now on because Hillary has said she wasn't going to run. Hillary had enough of, you know, passing out, falling down, about half dead all the time. She didn't want to be involved with any of this stuff anymore, you know, because she basically is old news. So now they've got to bring in the latest crop of the clown and circus show, and that's what Cortez is. And so keep your eyes on the ball. Don't get distracted by this mess. But Austin's right. We need to call 202-224-3121. And to the best of our ability, demand that our senators say, the heck with this. We're not going to force people to be held down. We're not going to take their professional licenses away. We're not going to take their driver's licenses away. We're not going to do any of this stuff. This is nonsense and insanity to even think that we can consider this. This is medical tyranny. This is medical martial law. This is to prevent you as an adult who is a professional licensed from doing what you need to do to provide a family, to provide food for your family. That's what they're doing. It's right back, like Austin said a few months ago, the Chinese social credit score is a beta test to bring into the United States, and this is part of it. This is medical martial law and tyranny. And guys, I cannot believe that this is even being discussed in the U.S. Senate. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, I can't either. I mean, it's all being done so covertly. And like I said, when you call that phone number, tell them your state and zip code, and they'll direct you to where you need to go. But we all have to get very aggressive with this right now, because they're using all these lies and all this propaganda to push fear on the American population. What a lot of people don't realize is if you look at the measles death in a research study from 2004 to 2015, a 10-year full comprehensive 10-year analysis by the CDC themselves, it shows that there were zero measles deaths in the United States. Entire United States, 10-year period, zero measles death from measles at all. Period. That exact same time period in the research study from the VAERS database, they found that there were 108 measles vaccine deaths due directly to the vaccine. 108 people died, never to live again, because they got a measles vaccine. Zero people actually died from the measles itself. Measles is not something that is incredibly fatal. Rarely is it ever fatal, ever, as you can see by these numbers. But it doesn't matter. The lies continue to stream all over the mainstream media in order to promote fear. Remember, fear is the number one tool that a tyrannical regime uses to force the population to comply and forces them into submission. Every time. After 9/11, everybody was scared. What did we get? The Patriot Act. It was one of the most egregious laws ever enacted on this soil. Period. Completely strips you from your constitutional rights if they deem you to be involved in any type of terrorist behavior. People go, well, I'm not a terrorist. I'm not doing anything bad. Okay, look where we are now. What happens when they start saying anybody that promotes anti-vaccine literature is now engaged in terroristic activity in the United States because you're promoting terror by telling people that vaccines aren't safe? What happens when that happens? We've seen so many things occur over the last 15 years that it's crazy to me. So wake people up, do your research, get your information together, and make informed decisions about this. Because when you start having anybody come to you and say, you are not going to be able to travel freely on your way, you're not going to be able to have a job, you're not going to be able to live according to the Constitution unless you allow us to inject this into your body. Remember I told you guys before, the globalists are weird. They know what these vaccines do to people. They know that they're shooting aborted fetal body parts into your body or into your children's body. They know they're shooting aluminum and formaldehyde. You have to consent to get these vaccines. Nobody yet that I have ever seen has been forcibly held down, strapped to a gurney, and had vaccines shot up into them while they were kicking and screaming and yelling. That's not happened. At every point in time, somebody submits. Now, to the level of tyranny that they push on top of you proves how far you're willing to go. If they start saying you can't have a driver's license, you can't buy food, you can't have a professional degree, you can still not get vaccines. You don't have to submit to that, but they're going to do everything in their power to force you to do so unless we start getting vocal and making a stand, because this is not something that we can continue to allow in this country to go any further, guys. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. As we've seen now, the propaganda is pushed up more and more in Europe and Sweden. over the pro-migrants that are coming there, the pro-migrant groups. The Swedish police have gone in now and consistently, there's a video I saw earlier today. It was pretty crazy. It's already gotten like over 2 million views as a police in Sweden, police officer in Sweden, and he discusses how two boys that were Muslim, of course he never says that, he says in a multicultural zone were shoplifting pastries and then pulled out guns when they were caught. And then he goes on to say, he continues to push all this left rhetoric. He said, the boys have lost their relationship with each other, and they're in this macho culture, and they're really scared, and they're living in danger, and we need to do the best we can to support these kids and help them out. And I'm like, I'm like, are you kidding? It's so nauseating to watch right now while people rob you, stab you, shoot you, rape your wives, rape your children, and they go, oh, they're lost boys. They're in multicultural areas. They don't know what to do with themselves. We just need to let them be and it'll all work it out. Well, a research study that just came out from a Dutch professor based on a 20-year-long study on integration and assimilation, Dutch professor of sociology, Ruud Kampman, has come to the conclusion that Muslims are by far the most difficult to integrate than any other migrant group in the world. He claims that no Western country has ever managed to successfully integrate Muslims into their community. He goes on to say Muslims are much worse at integration than any other group of migrants, and there's no doubt that most other groups of migrants, we see great progress from one generation to the next, although it is completely absent in Muslims, and the change is much slower if any change occurs whatsoever. He had a survey that he did around 65% of Turkish and Moroccan Muslims that are now currently in six European countries consider religious rules to be more important than any law of the country in which they live. This is something that we're seeing now become more and more aggressive as we see this Muslim rhetoric pushed upon the entire population in the United States very slowly, very, 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 very covertly now, but we've seen it now in Minnesota, we've seen it up in there in Michigan, we now have this hardcore Muslim congresswoman, and nobody wants to talk about what's going on. Everybody wants to talk about, oh, well, we need to do this, and we need to let them in. Canada's already doing that. They're letting in over 100,000 of them into their country a year right now, and best believe the Canadian border is not something that's difficult to get into back into the United States. It's actually quite easy. So just something to kind of bring about here and make sure everybody understands what's really going on behind the scenes while we see all this bread and circus essentially in the mainstream media, Dan.
The mainstream media, they're pretty much good for one thing, promoting lies. And that's all they do. They just lie all the time. By the way, it was kind of interesting. I was in Peru a few years ago, and I told you guys a story at Machu Picchu. And I confronted the tour guide that we had about the fact that the Peruvians there at Machu Picchu were using their altar, their sacrificial altar stone, for human child sacrifice. And, of course, she denied it vehemently and told me I was absolutely wrong. And now, guess what happened? The real darkest Peru, this is from the Daily Mail, the world's largest mass sacrifice site, where at least 140 children had their hearts ripped out, was to appease the gods after a huge 15th century El Nino. They found the bodies. More than 140 boys and girls were slaughtered. Remains of hundreds of juveniles, and the juveniles were also found at the site as far as llamas and alpacas. Marks from the skeletons revealed the sternum was cut open on the humans and the animals, which means they pulled their hearts out as part of the sacrifice. And that's why, the reason I brought this up to you, I'm only talking about this stuff from ancient Peru or 500 years ago Peru, is because this is the same group of people. They were doing this to Quetzalcoatl. They were doing it to their serpent god who came over and gave them the advanced mathematics and stuff as far as stars, etc. This is who these guys were. And guys, you know, the same group's still here. And it's still the same group that's still running things. By the way, millennials now are leading the mass Facebook exodus. More than 15 million users have quit Facebook in the last 2 years alone over privacy concerns. In 2017, 67% of the total population over the age of 12 used Facebook. Now it's dropped down to 61%. Please get off of Facebook. I mean, it's just, I can't tell you how important it is. Just get off. My wife had a Facebook account, and I didn't want her to do it. She did it anyhow, because she wanted to be in touch with her friends from high school. And finally, I just started showing her the research and what was going on. And I said, I really would like for you to get off of this. This is not necessary. And she did. She said, you're right, Ted. I shouldn't have done this, and I'm off of this. So, guys, it's so important that we all practice what we preach and stay away from these media sites that are giant spy agency. By the way, this is an interesting article. This is from Breitbart. Linda Sozar says that Pelosi is doing dirty work of powerful white men with anti-Semitism condemnation. Now, there's a lot of rhetoric going on right now in the Democratic Party as far as anti-Semitism and basically persecution of people who don't have your beliefs. But this is interesting. Linda Sozar, a co-leader of the Embattled Women's March, attacked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as House Democrats draft a resolution condemning anti-Semitism. But they didn't pass that one. They passed another one following blowback from Representative Ilhan Omar's latest anti-Semitic remarks, who basically her anti-Semitic remark, Park, was that AIPAC controlled a lot of Congress members and was primarily Jewish, which is an absolute fact. It's not anti-Semitic. Omar has become the center of controversy after suggesting last week that lawmakers are pressured by pro-Israeli groups to take a pledge of allegiance to a foreign country, which is what Senator Cindy McKinney said on tape on YouTube, former congresswoman. And so she goes, I want to ask, why is it okay for me to talk about the influence of the National Rifle Association or fossil fuel industries or Big Pharma and not talk about a powerful lobbying group that is influencing policy? The Minnesota Democrat asked during a forum at a bookstore with a fellow freshman Republican, Rashidat Tlaib. Some of Omar's allies are furious with the latest attempt by Democrats to punish the freshman congresswoman for her, quote, repeated anti-Semitism. In other words, for calling out AIPAC. Nancy is a typical white feminist upholding the patriarchy, doing the dirty work of powerful white men. Sosa wrote in a blistering Facebook post, God forbid the men are upset. No worries. Nancy to the rescue to stroke their egos. So you guys can read the rest of this on Breitbart. I wanted to bring this to you to let you know that the Democrats are basically doing a self-implosion. They're all caught up now, and they've actually split their own party. And now they've decided to condemn all hate, not just anti-Semitism, specifically in this resolution that they're passing. According to the report, House Democrats will condemn anti-Semitism specifically, will not condemn it specifically, following this big giant controversy that was created. Now, why would they do this? Why would they not condemn anti-Semitism specifically? Well, here's why. They've got to get the narrative to stop. They've got to turn the lights off. They've got to let it go back into the dark. They've got to let AIPAC go back into the dark. They don't want to have this giant thing happening that everybody's looking at now and saying, why are they being anti-Semitic? How are they classifying anti-Semitism? Why are they saying they're being anti-Semitic? What are the actual facts behind this? Years ago, David Duke, a former congressman and member of the KKK, came on the Alex Jones' show and basically debated Alex Jones for like 2 hours. And it was the extreme right wing versus Alex Jones and, you know, his own little format. And I will say to you that Alex Jones basically had no facts to even come back against what David Duke was saying. And you guys, if you get a chance to watch that video, you can still watch it. It's still one of the biggest videos that Alex has done. Of course, I don't know how you'd watch it anymore because it was yanked off YouTube. I don't even know where it would be now, but it's probably still available somewhere. But the thing about it is that we've got to have an open dialogue about all of this stuff. Now, I'm not a David Duke fan, don't get me wrong here. But what I will say is this, why can't we have open dialogues about this? Why can't we have open dialogues about dual citizenships? I don't care which country it's in. Why can't we talk about, why is it if you say dual citizenship shouldn't be allowed, you're an anti-Semite? Why should you say that a huge corporation like AIPAC that has tens of thousands of people working for it and hundreds of millions of dollars in funding, some people say billions of dollars in funding per year, it can't be pointed out as being an undue influence on our Congress and what's happening in the United States of America and how policies are being directed? Why can't we just ask those questions? Oh, that's right, because we can't ask what's in our vaccine either. Oh, that's right. And we can't ask about who runs the world as far as the Federal Reserve Bank, and heaven forbid we ever speak about Operation Gladio or the Federal Reserve Bank or anything else as far as like maybe the way the Federal Reserve took over the doggone Treasury in 1934 through the Exchange Stability Fund. Oh, we can't talk about that. Or the fact that Roosevelt was a hardcore communist and so was Stalin and Churchill was a Druid and they were all Masons. Oh, we can't talk about that either. Look who you can't talk about and you'll find out who rules you and who controls everything. Austin, what do you think?
That's exactly right. And we've seen that in so many cases. And whenever somebody tells you you're not allowed to question something, you're not allowed to ask questions, you're not allowed to wonder, why is this mandated? Why is this being, why am I being told I have to do this? It's a good time to start really addressing what in the world's going on behind the scenes. Also, too, what Dad was just talking about a few minutes ago, we're seeing now, you know, it's ironic that they're using the measles cases and stuff like that as an excuse now to try to mandate vaccines through Senate. We've already talked about that. Now we're seeing that there's already almost 200 cases of mumps confirmed at Texas migrant detention centers already. They said officials with the Texas Department of State Health Services stated that 186 cases of mumps has already been reported at the detention facilities. What's crazy about this is mumps reached an all-time high in 2016 with 191 cases for the entire year. We have now reached 186 cases in 2019 alone at these centers. So what's going on now is we're seeing this massive influx of diseases that we've pretty much eradicated in the United States through hygiene and health and other aspects that we're seeing pour back into this country as a lot of these individuals are caught and screened. But as Dad just talked about a minute ago, we're having a plethora of illegal immigration in the United States now. What has been going on with the wall, what's been going on with the national attention, with the immigration debates for the last couple months, it has now stirred up even more aggression and more will to want to get in this country now. That's what a lot of people don't realize. When we've talked about this and the media has publicized it day in and day out and it was a national thing and we had a government shutdown for a month because we wanted a wall because of immigration, that's kind of your cue if you're an illegal and you're down in South America and you're trying to get to the United States. It's kind of your cue to say, okay, looks like this stuff's coming to a halt here in the near future. We need to speed up our progress, which is exactly what we've seen now, especially when we've seen this many cases of mumps already at these detention centers, and we wonder why a lot of these diseases are resurfacing. It's not because we need forced vaccine mandates on the United States population. It's because we need to keep people out of this country from third world countries that are incredibly sick and have all these issues. Also, too, in other news now, not surprising to me enough, as we see the globalist ideology of trying to stop the population because they don't want people having any more children now, and they only want basically kids coming in from third world countries to assimilate and grow so they can turn the entire world into one mestizo population. Appearing on BBC 2 weeks ago now, two women discussed how their fears of the impending climate catastrophe and how the Green Deal needs to happen, but they are now being driven to join the birth strike movement, which is now growing significantly now all across the United States and Europe. The birth strike movement is where women now abstain from procreation due to the inevitability of a climate apocalypse. She goes on to say there are people out there that are so scared about this, they feel they can't have a family and our planet is in kind of collapse. The natural world is collapsing around us and it's actually happening right now and we have to do something about it. And what's ironic is both of these women are, you can tell, they're very strong European white females over there. They're not discussing the migrant population that a lot of them in the Muslim families like to have 8, 9, 10, 12 kids in some cases, which I've personally seen before when I've been over there. And they're not discussing any of that at all. They're essentially promoting that the predominantly European heritage individuals in Europe now need to start going on to the birth strike movement and not have kids any further. This is what the feminist agenda, the hardcore liberal, and the hardcore socialist agenda has been promoting for years, and now it's starting to actually take hold. Also, too, this is a health article. It's an exciting health article. As you guys know, I'm a huge proponent of magnesium. So is Dad. We're actually working on our magnesium body balm with CBD oil, which is going to be out hopefully by next week. We should have everything finalized with it. But magnesium in general is incredibly effective. A lot of our customers have seen that with the magnesium brain food. Well, according to a study now in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, magnesium also regulates vitamin D levels in the body. The study is the first to provide evidence of magnesium's crucial role in optimizing vitamin D levels. We talked to you guys so much about why vitamin D is so important, but also magnesium is so important. Well, this research study carried out by researchers from Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center, the study looked at whether supplementation with magnesium had a positive effect on vitamin D metabolism. The study's researchers also gained interest in the effects of magnesium when some people failed to increase their total level of vitamin D, even though they were taking higher doses of it. Early studies have shown that the enzymes that produce and metabolize vitamin D are highly dependent on magnesium levels in the body. The lead author said magnesium deficiency actually shuts down part of the vitamin D synthesis and metabolism pathway. The results of the study indicate that optimal magnesium status may be essential for optimizing vitamin D status. These findings are important because, unlike vitamin D deficiency, magnesium deficiency is an under recognized health problem. They go on to say in the study, up to 80% of people do not consume enough magnesium in a day to meet the recommended dietary allowance based on those national estimates. And so this is a really interesting article because I've talked to some people before and I've helped them with this as far as magnesium and D3. Those are two crucial supplements that I always put in a protocol with anybody, vitamin D and the magnesium brain food, period. And that is why, because you start having people that they may take a high dose of bioavailable vitamin D like we carry, but if they're super, super deficient in vitamin or magnesium and they're not taking any supplementation and they're totally depleted, the vitamin D can only do so much in metabolizing and absorption in the body because the magnesium is essentially it counterbalances it and it helps to dial it in and actually increase the absorption of it. So I thought that was a really cool article, and again, it shows you why our magnesium brain food not only has so many health benefits, including better cognitive functioning, better energy, better workouts, in my opinion, but when you take it with vitamin D, you actually get that synergistic effect of increasing your magnesium levels at the same time increasing your vitamin D levels, Dad. So I thought that was pretty exciting when I saw that research today.
I take them both on a regular basis. Another study found that U.S. women of reproductive age are iodine deficient. I mean, you need about 12 milligrams of iodine every single day. And, you know, we use a special type of nascent iodine, and it's actually reasonably priced. Some guys were marketing nascent iodine for $100 for a little bottle, $50 for a little bottle of it. And ours is, I think, $20, $25. I mean, we actually market to, it's 12.5 milligrams per serving, too. I mean, iodine is an essential element they can't live without. Every cell in the body needs and requires it and to function optimally. Plus, it really, really works as far as the immune system. However, the most vulnerable population for iodine deficiency are women of childbearing age. Iodine deficiency during pregnancy can cause permanently lowered IQ in children, along with a host of neurological and endocrine problems, including mental retardation, autism, ADHD, and thyroid problems. So guys, make sure you get enough iodine in your diet, and make sure you're getting enough if you're pregnant. That's very, very important, along with enough vitamin D3. By the way, also, more Americans under the age of 40 are now having heart attacks. I talked about that just the other day. Luke Perry died at 52 from a stroke the other day, but who knows why that happened. That guy was a pretty big Hollywood insider. And it's another grim reminder that the young are far from invincible. Days after Luke Perry's death at 52 from a stroke, a new study on heart attacks as another grim reminder that the young are far more invincible, maybe even more vulnerable than they used to be. Heart attack rates are rising for adults under the age of 40, and researchers found after comparing the data of heart attack survivors ages 41 to 50, those survivors who were 40 and younger. Guys, so many people under the age of 40 are dying of heart attacks. The youngest one I've ever seen, I think they were 18 or 19 years old, fresh out of high school when they died of a heart attack. I've told you that story before. And it happens with a lot of times with these young men who are playing football in these high school fields and these college fields because they end up dehydrating and overheating. I mean, guys, it's so important to stay properly hydrated. It's so important to keep your blood thin because when the blood gets too thick, it's very hard for the body to pump. And it's very dangerous. Another main cause of this stuff is canola oil. It's been linked to worsening memory, dementia, and even weight gain. Temple University researchers have conducted a study that links the consumption of canola oil to worsened memory, decreased learning ability, and increased weight gain in Alzheimer's disease. This is a contrast with olive oil, which has been shown to improve memories and reduce levels of amyloid plaques linked to tissue loss and cell death in those with degenerative illnesses. Temple Research has conducted a study that links this with worsened memory and also with decreased learning ability and increased weight gain. So it's one of these things that you really have to stay away from. Canola oil is one of the most commonly consumed, quote, vegetable oils, though I don't think it's a vegetable. It is popular because it is advertised as being healthy and generally far less expensive than others. But it's also used, the canola plant, the rapeseed plant, is also used in producing oils and paints and shellac. I mean, it's a toxic weed. And this other stuff that's produced by it is very, very, very toxic. Several things you need to look at. If you look on a label and it says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated anything, just don't use it. If it says canola oil, don't use it. If it has high fructose corn syrup, now under a plethora of other names that you can look them up online, don't use it. It needs to be as short of a list as possible as far as ingredients if you're going to use it. Why? Because if you start getting blue dyes and red dyes and yellow dyes and green dyes and purple dyes and who knows what other kind of dyes and all kinds of other chemicals and shellac, these things are just not healthy for you. They're toxic in some cases, and they should be completely taken out of your diet. So why in the world are we putting trans fats and hydrogenated oils and canola oils and all of these things in our diets thinking they're okay and then asking the question, why are people dying with heart attacks in their 30s and in their 20s? Well, here's why. I just told you. And why are so many people coming down with Alzheimer's disease and amyloid plaques? I just told you another reason why. It's because their diet is so bad. And we discussed this in detail yesterday, that you can't just eat what you want to eat, do what you want to do, and basically figure out that you're going to be okay and basically go down the road with it. It doesn't work that way. By the way, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons has strongly now opposed mandatory vaccines. I got to give kudos to these guys. They're saying no more. That's not right. Due to the measles outbreak in the United States, frightened people are pushing an agenda to take an important medical decision out of the hands of parents. They are calling for the shaming of parents who have chosen not to vaccinate their children. Hysteria is running high. Guys, 150 people have measles. Are you kidding me? Out of 350 million? Are you joking me? Really? And now we're going to have forced immunization because of 150? This, again, is the media pushing an agenda they want for population reduction. This is what they're doing. And now this group of surgeons here has said, hey, guys, we can't have this hysteria over these types of problems because these problems simply don't exist, but they're making them exist. Remember, they can make Ebola a major problem. They can make SARS a major problem. They can make anything they want a major problem, or they can make anything they or any person they want a major star or a major villain. Look at Michael Jackson. I'm not a fan of Michael Jackson. Never have been. He's been accused now of being sexually aggressive with young children. I don't know if he was or not. Who knows? I wasn't there. But all I know is this. He started talking about the Illuminati. He started talking about his handlers. He started talking about the groups of people that were running the world. He started doing candid interviews discussing this stuff in depth. And suddenly Michael Jackson's dead. All of a sudden his usefulness had expired and he's gone. Now they've got to destroy his name. They've got to destroy his image. They've got to destroy everything they can about him. He's not even there to defend himself. He's gone. You see it all the time. They always have to have, they have to destroy you by destroying your name, by destroying your image, and they've got to set up a straw man to continue this after you're gone so that you can't do it. Same thing with Stalin. They took Stalin, one of the biggest barbarians in the history of the world, and they turned him into a hero in the United States. Hardcore communists killed 60 million of his own people. Didn't make any difference. They wanted him to be great because he pushed the Russian Revolution with the same guys who run the media, and so therefore he became great. Hitler, by no means am I a fan, but he did a few things right, like building the Autobahn, rebuilding the economy in Germany, and also getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank in Germany in 1938. He did a few things right, but he's the worst mass murderer in the history of the world, ever has been, ever will be. No, he's not. Stalin's right up there at the top. Stalin was much, much worse than Hitler. That's not what we're told, because we're told to believe the narrative. Now that new book has just come out that says that the Jewish folks weren't involved at all in the Russian Revolution, which is a complete and total lie. You say, well, was it all Jews? No, of course not. But a big percentage of the people involved in the Russian Revolution and the killing of the Tsar were Jewish. And they brought their ideology into Germany through the Frankfurt School. They tried to turn Germany into a communist country. They tried, then they came to the United States to try to turn us into a communist country. This is what the McCarthy hearings were all about. So now they say, oh, that never happened. It never happened. It's in the history books. But no, what happens is they scrub it. Pretty soon the books are no longer available on Amazon. The books are no longer available in your libraries. Yep. And the next generation doesn't remember it. Now the entire Civil War, which is about states' rights in the United States, has turned into a war about slavery. Complete and total lie. If slavery was an issue, I'm not going to deny that. But it wasn't the primary reason that we had a civil war in the United States. They don't want you to know what happened. And one of the main reasons that we had a revolutionary war in the United States with Britain, because we had issued colonial currency and got away from the script out of England, and basically they said we couldn't have that, and that caused the main problems that we had in the United States by having to use the British pound still and going out and getting rid of colonial script. they don't want you to know where these things started and how they happened. So they just twist the news. And after a generation, people don't remember and people die. That's why I always love it when they drag Nazis out of the grave. Also, some other person who's a Holocaust survivor who's like 90-some-odd years old comes out and makes this big testimony. We don't know if they're a Holocaust survivor. We don't know that, do we? We weren't there when they were there in Germany 80 years ago, 90 years ago, 70 years ago. We don't know. But they say they are, so we're supposed to believe they are. But we don't know. You know, they always got to drag out some Nazi out of some doggone casket somewhere and dust him off and prop him up and say, oh, it's the Nazis. No, it's not. It's like, I told you guys I went to that thing last summer in Washington. Nazis are here. The Nazis are here. I said, man, are they in wheelchairs? Oh, no, these are neo-Nazis. Well, what are they? Where are they? Well, there's 12 of them. Well, there's 6,000 people protesting them. Well, yeah, there's 12 of them. Well, they're dressed in coat and ties and three-piece suits and no tattoos and short haircuts, and they're very professional and very articulate. And they're talking about how we have to have controlled borders. And I'm like, okay. You know, what? I'm like, okay, so they're the neo-Nazis. You guys are running around, you know, with vagina hats and everything else, and we're supposed to be, you know, on your side. This seems really weird to me. I'm not a neo-Nazi, but gosh, sometimes when people say things, they actually are telling the truth. How about that? Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely wonderful. I have the privilege of praying for you again today. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being here for us. You guys rock the world. I love you guys. I really do. I pray that God continues to protect you. That you're blessed in every area of your life. I station angels all around you. I plead the blood of Christ over you. Put a hedge of thorns around you. I ask that you be defended and be protected. I love you guys. I'll also close it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for all the continued support, and we appreciate it. Thank you for getting in this fight with us and having our back. We have to make sure we do everything we can right now to voice our concern and our opinion and our will and want as we, the people, on not allowing the government to come in and demand that we be forcibly vaccinated. That's something we cannot allow have happen. So thank you for your support. Do everything you can today. Email your senators. Call your senators on the number that I gave you earlier in the show. Get this stuff rolling. We have to make a statement, because if they hear enough opposition from the American population, they're not going to push this through, because they know what's going to happen and how much flack they're going to get, especially on re-election time. So thank you for your support. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com, be sure to check out our website. Thank you so much for everything. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.